It's the top of the news according to me. And a fine happy morning to you. It's Friday. Friday. It's already Friday. May 21st, 2021. Yesterday it was 5/20/2021. Today it's 5/21/2021. 21, 20, whatever. So, good morning to you. And also, all of a sudden, my throat starts getting all froggy. I don't know why that is. Everything's fine until I start talking to you. Anyway, the morning. It is the morning, by the way. This is morning here as I'm recording this. It's five. It's probably evening somewhere because this is supposedly this is listened to all over the world, which, you know, is amazing to me. Just a few brief years ago, well, maybe, you know, 50, well, even 40 years ago. The idea of a guy sitting in a rubber room behind a microphone talking. And having that heard in places like Vietnam and Australia, Indonesia, Venezuela, you know, those places, Russia. That would have been quite unfathomable. Unfathomable. You know what I'm saying. That idea, back when I was a kid, you know, I could do that with a ham radio. Not something I was into at the time. I was into soccer. Martial arts. And what else was I going to do? Motocross. Bicycling. And my, those things, sitting behind a radio, talking on a microphone. Behind a microphone, talking on a radio. I guess I don't know which way you do that, but I don't know if you sit in front of a microphone or behind a microphone. But the microphone is in front of me, I know that. I'll just go with that. So that's the way you have a logistical understanding of what's going on here. And the idea of a guy sipping on something from a cup and people wanting to know what that is. And it's actually hot chocolate this morning with a little bit of, I do have the cinnamon spice creamer in it. That's what I've got in there this morning. So that's, now you know. And that's really all you tune in for anyway, I'm sure. But the rest of this is all just fluff. We have, yeah, so it's just it's interesting that you know, this kind of technology has expanded people's ability to communicate. Not that they're any better at it, but now we can talk to people in parts of the world that we never would have thought. I used to be, you had to do an international phone call. It was a big deal, and it was expensive. And nowadays, it's just part of your plan. It's ridiculous. We live in an amazing time, and people still complain about it. That's all I got to say. When I was a kid, walking uphill both ways in school to school in 4 feet of snow, temperatures of, you know, -5. In the wintertime, and in the spring, it was like 120 degrees out. It was still snowing, but we had really hot. It's a hot snow. So I guess the climate has changed somewhat. But the thing about it, it's just the amazing, you know, advancements we've made in the last 50 years. And those advancements didn't happen because of a socialist country. Many, if not most, of those advancements were made because of capitalist principles. Now, the radicals on the left, the Bernie bros, all the people who are out there who are against capitalism and say it's evil, they are taking the segment of capitalism. Of course, now they get all their money from, you know, they love people like, you know, the Twitter guy and the YouTube people and the people who own Googleites. All those people that run those shows, they just love them. They think they're just so woke. And they're the problem. They're the ones that are crony capitalists. They're taking the money for advertising. They're doing all the things to bilk you of your income. All the while, they're censoring you and telling you what to do and being your parents. And people on the left just love that. Apparently. Sometimes it amazes me the level of I don't know what else to call it other than stupidity. I don't know. That's all I know to call it. I hate to use a word sometimes because it is. You know, the length at which people will go to try to destroy something that has just the lengths that they will go to ignore something. I guess that's, they don't logically or reason. They have no reason left in them. It's like you can't reason with these people. They fill their heads with this mush from academia. They get one or two sources of their information, and they just think that's the way it is. Yes, this, look at this. This just all makes sense. We have to do this because this makes sense. It makes sense in your little utopian world made up of very interesting, weird, strange idealistic philosophies. Meanwhile, I'm drinking my hot chocolate and watching it all fall apart. So, and maybe that's part of the problem. The craziness about all this, it is just, when the thing that kind of just drives me nuts, is that the sensibility of academia, it just seems to be missing. I mean, it just seems to be gone. There are very few colleges, very few learning institutions anymore. That, and this has crept into even high schools, grade school, high school level education. And it's become very obvious here throughout this last year as the schools shut down. And now they refuse to go back to work. And it concerns me in the discussions I've had with some of the teachers I've spoken with over the past year. Their level of understanding of, especially the COVID thing, but in general, some of the things that they will say, COVID-related or not, whether it's just their line of reasoning, how they come to conclusions, and the information that they get, kind of blows my mind. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I heard a report yesterday from I was really kind of surprised. I was on my mower, so I listened. I have a set of headphones that I put on that block out the noise of the all the the bugs screaming that I'm killing as I'm mowing my yard. And I'm pretty sure that's what makes all the noise when you're mowing. It's mostly the bugs screaming from the mayhem going on underneath that little mower thing cover. And as I was doing that, I discovered that this lady was being interviewed by Sean Hannity, of all people. And he was actually letting her talk. Now, he still talked a lot more than he, you know, should have, as usual. But he actually did a decent job of letting her speak. Now, Sean is, I don't know if you noticed this or not about Sean. I just happened to think about this last night. You know, I don't know that he, I don't listen to him very much, so I don't know what he did, what he said about Liz Cheney. But I don't remember him, I don't recall him saying anything about Liz Cheney. And there's a reason for that, by the way. He tends to be in, he tends to love the attention or the ability to get people on his show. People like Lindsey Graham and some of the other, I would call them rhinos. He doesn't mind having those people on his show. And Lindsey's kind of a chameleon. He'll do whatever he needs to do. If John McCain were still alive, he would still be, you know, totally on the McCain train. And the McCains are very much in the establishment tank, the swampies of the swampiest. And I'm not going to say guilty by association, but you just, you know, you're known by the crowd you run with sometimes. And Lindsey is definitely in that political theater realm of being able to say what he needs to say to get, you know, and act the way he needs to act. And yet at the end of the day, it doesn't do anything. So, and the reason I'm talking about all this stuff is because it all comes back to this last election. And I'll get to that in a little bit after I talk about this little Sean Hannity thing. But there's some interesting things happening. I guess there's a special election. I need to look at what's going on actually with this, because my understanding is there's some kind of special election right now going on in, let's find out, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. How did they come up with that spelling? Special election. See what happens here. Probably nothing. Probably just pushed on the wrong button. Yeah, there it is. Okay, I'll let my internet do its thing for the next hour as it tries to find something. State legislative special elections 2021. Pennsylvania State Senate District 22. Apparently having a special election there. Special elections. Pennsylvania holds special elections when someone is in office can no longer serve. Okay, I understand that. Special elections to be held May 18th and 19th, which is just passed. First day to register after primary, May 25th. Last day for County Board of Elections to receive voted military and overseas absentee ballots submitted for delivery no later than 11 a.m. May 17th. August 2nd, 2021, last day to circulate and file nomination papers. I don't know. I've got all these dates here. I don't know what this was all about. This doesn't make any sense. So, my understanding, the vote has either just happened or already happened, or it's just getting ready to happen. But I guess I thought it already happened. And my understanding is what they're having problems with is the ballot machines aren't counting Republican ballots, Republican votes. And they've found some kind of a coding error in the machines. I don't know if that's a because of an audit or because of this election. So we'll look into that a little bit later. I'll dig into that as I'm talking about something else because I can do 12 things at once. I didn't say I could do them well, but I can do, you know, just because I can do 12 things at once doesn't mean any of them are any good. So getting back to this thing about the Sean Hannity show here, he was interviewing this lady who was extremely, I thought, very well, I want to say educated. I want to say really what I need to say is she was extremely what's the word I'm looking for here? Well thought out responses. She was very careful in her responses about certain things and I thought very professional in terms of not making definitive statements in areas where we just don't know, things we just don't know. And she's not trying to make up political, it's not political commentary. She was making very good statements about things that I thought were, you know, it's if you don't know, you don't know. She was talking about some of the research on some things that was pretty interesting because the questions kept coming up from some of the callers on Sean Hannity's show. That okay, this one lady, she still has the antibodies. She got COVID last November, and she still has the antibodies in her system. And she gives plasma or blood, whatever she gives on a regular basis, and they test whatever they're doing to test her for antibodies. She still has antibodies. Now T cells, this is where some of my friends have talked about T cells, and I don't think they understand the difference between antibodies and T cells. T cells are in your body all the time; they've always been there. If you have a normal you know condition, if you're a normal person, you have these T cells in your body. Now, the way she explained it was the T-cells kind of have a memory for response to things in your body that the body's trying to reject. And the way this works is once your body has developed an immunity to something, or in other words, your body creates antibodies to go against some kind of a intruder. And in the process of doing that, the the antibodies are formed. And the T cells, they have this kind of a memory type thing. So once they've fought off a virus like that, or fought off a disease or an intruder.
Intruder alert.
Once they fight that off, there's this memory ability for the T cells to develop that, to fight that off again. In other words, it's the body becomes more, I guess, more efficient. I guess I'm kind of stepping off into my own interpretation of what she said. So I'm not a doctor and I don't know what I'm talking about. So just want to make that a disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
I want to put that in there right now. But your T cells are then, you know, have this memory ability. And they're able to be more efficient about fighting off something in the future that's, you know, related to that. Now, you know, there was questions about the variants. The other types of COVID variants, the mutations that are out there, supposedly. Now, there's one I think that's So I think it's an African strain. I believe it's African. I don't know. there's one someplace that's mostly the most concerning one because it seems to be affecting younger people a little bit more readily. Now, there's several different studies out there, and I'm not going to delve into that much, but she talked about the she finally defined, and this is where she really did a good job of looking at the research and all the numbers, the actual data and the facts that are coming in. And on this whole thing, she said, basically, if you have had the disease, if you've had COVID, the virus, and the immunity that you have, in other words, the antibodies that you have in your body, in your system, the most of the data shows that you'll have those antibodies for about 3 to 5 months. And your chance of getting COVID again is less than 10%. It's just under 10%. It's like 90, you have a 90% chance, basically, a little over 90% chance that you are basically 90% immune to this thing when you have those antibodies in your system. Now, here's the question I have, and I think that the antibody question, I think, in terms of how long it lasts in your body, it depends a little bit. I think there's blood type issues. I know I've read several things on, or heard several reports that blood types that respond differently to COVID, as well as some DNA traits that respond differently to COVID. So there's some things there that they're looking into in the background in terms of how, you know, and obviously comorbidities and other diseases that are involved in it as well. So we're still, you know, we're still taking in all this stuff and learning about it. The thing that she was talking about is what I kind of wonder is if you've had more exposure to the virus. Let's say you get the virus in January 1st, and a couple weeks later you're over it. It didn't really affect you. So now you have these antibodies, and let's say they last for 4 months, and you're never around anybody else that has the virus at that time. So now you never get exposed to the virus again in that 4 months time. And then the antibodies supposedly then drift off. Now, she said that there are some cases, and this may happen in a lot of cases, depending on the blood type and the individuals that, you know, what we know about it so far, it is very potentially possible that the antibodies and resistance to this virus could last up to 2 years. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about it, and but that is that's the potential for this, because this has happened before. When the SARS type virus came out, there was immunity to it. For that, there were some of the people who were tested and in some of the studies that were done had immunity for 2 years. Now, so let's say you have exposure to the virus again, within that 4 months. So you get the virus January 1st. You're over it, you know, by the end of the month, you're over it. So now you start this clock of, you know, 4 months of immunity. Well, in March, a couple months later, you get exposed to the virus again. And those antibodies, will they kind of recharge? They're in your body, they're fighting off that thing, and now your T cells are going to respond and create more antibodies to fight that thing off again, or to boost yourself. I don't know how this works. I'm not a physiologist. I'm not a physiologist or a phlebotomist. Is exposure to the virus going to help to continue to boost your immune system? Now, and the reason I ask that is because they say that, well, if you've had the virus and then you get the vaccination, now you've, well, actually, this that's how she says you've boosted your immunity up to 90%. So I think I backed up on that. I need to back up on that a little bit. Your immunity, if you've had the virus, is about 80%. And if you have the vaccination, it supposedly boosts it up to maybe 90%. And then you're supposedly also less susceptible to getting a variant if you've had it and you've had the vaccine. If you've not had it and you have the vaccine, that is not the case. Now, my question is, how long does the vaccine last? Now, of course, Fauci has already said, you may have to get a booster. You may have to get a booster every year or every 6 months to get, you know, to keep the variants away. You know. So this is something they're going to probably pull out of their pocket every election cycle so that they can continue to do the drop boxes and the mail-in ballots. That's just my guess. So, because that's, you know, that's the way they operate. And they have to keep the fear factor going because people aren't buying all the baloney about, you know, global warming crap. I guess you can tell. Maybe you can tell by my response to that. I don't buy into all the global warming crap. I'm calling it crap. Our environment has a lot of pollution. Okay, let's not mince around about that. And that needs to be that's a continual battle. There are a lot of plastics that are finding their way into our water systems and in places in the world, and that's not good. Plastics themselves are not a bad thing. Most of them now are recyclable. And even if it costs, you know, almost the same amount of money to recycle them as it does to make them, big whoop, we're keeping them out of the environment. We're keeping them out of the trash, the landfills, and the, you know, the thing that gets me is that people just throw them away. Just throw them out the window. Or they throw them out, you know, at the beach, they just leave them there. Or they just throw them off their boat. And here's the problem. And of course, you know, up until a few years ago, not that many years ago, New York was hauling all of its trash out on a barge out into the ocean and just dumping it. That was a great idea. But of course now New Yorkers, they're all the woke ones who are all doing all the recycling. One of the things that has actually been determined, and it's not talked about at all, because it looks like it's a dirty way to do it, but burning trash is actually better for the environment than anything. And because it actually breaks it down into its, you know, its lowest form, and then that the earth can then kind of recycle that stuff itself. It's kind of a, you know, you're turning it into basically a soot that then that can be broken down. Even plastic. Once you burn plastic and it, you know, puts off toxic fumes and all that stuff. But that stuff, what is it called? Defemilates? I don't know what the word is. It breaks down very quickly and can be, you know, like within a week. Whereas if you throw a plastic bottle into a landfill, and you go back 50 years and dig it up, it still pretty much looks like a plastic bottle. Leaving it in the sun actually will break it down faster than it will putting it in the ground, but I digress. Back to the Hannity show and this lady talking. So some of the things I suspected. Now, one of the interesting things was, it's one of the statistics that she brought up, and this is pretty interesting. She said the one of the troubling things that she determined, that they have determined about this whole, since the COVID lockdown stuff, she said that the virus spread more under mandatory lockdowns than it did under voluntary, when people took voluntary measures. There was less spread and fewer cases than there were when it was mandatory things put into effect. Now, why? I don't know. That's an interesting thing to talk about. But the numbers, she said, the numbers are perplexing because in the areas where they made this plays out. This is like it's almost like the, it's a weird thing. Look at Florida and Texas. the way they're fighting back against the mandatory stuff and the levels of cases that they're having now. And the states that have the most and toughest lockdowns are still locked down. It blows my mind that people are still wearing masks and stuff in California. And Michigan is like, you can't go to a restaurant hardly at all in Michigan and go inside. I was recently in a hotel up in Flint, Michigan. And I get up there and there's a Wendy's right next door. So I called him up. I said, "Hey, are you serving inside?" "No, we're not serving indoors." "Well, can I call and get a carryout order?" "No, you have to go through the drive-thru." "Well, I don't have a car." "Well, how am I supposed to do that?" "Well, we want you to walk through the drive-thru." "Okay, that's a great idea. So I'm standing out here between two cars." No, I didn't stand between the cars. I stood off to the side. But, you know, nobody cut in front of me. Nobody was going to cut in front of me. Well, trust me, I wasn't going to allow that to happen. Because I can stand in front of that little machine up there. I should have just walked up to the machine. What I really should have done is gone to the window. Walked around the other side of the building and gone to the window and just placed my order. Because people were jumping in front of me anyway, trying to jump in front of me as I was walking up to the thing anyway. But the... Of course, when I walked up there and stood there, the car behind me was waiting, and I was trying to talk to him. And apparently, there's like a little metal detector or something in the ground there that they couldn't hear me, they wouldn't talk back to me. I said, "Hello, hello, hello, hello. Anybody in there? I want to place an order. Hello." Nobody was responding. So I just walked up to the window, and they took my order and. Did the whole thing, and then they had me stand right there at the window to pick it. Of course, they were bringing food out to people in cars, but I had to stand at the window and get my food there because they couldn't come out face to face with me because there was nothing. You know, there was I don't know why. It was just stupid. But I couldn't just call in my order and have them carry it out to me either. That's the ridiculous thing about the whole thing. So apparently it's a lot safer. To play chicken with cars out there in the parking lot than it was to just call them and have them bring out the food. So they're that's real safe. So I digress. Let's get back to this lady talking about the whole thing. So the bottom line is that it seems that there's a lot of speculation in a lot of the, you know, she basically had a scientific approach. She was looking at data. She was very careful in how she interpreted the data and wouldn't make any speculations and draw any conclusions other than just to say, this is the data, this is what the data says, but this is, you know, what are the other factors? We don't know. Now, she also talked about whether or not everybody should get the vaccination. And, you know, there are people who have allergies, certain kinds of types of allergies, certain types of issues. She didn't want to go into any speculation. She said those things need to be taken on a case-to-case basis. If you have any questions about taking the virus, you talk to your doctor, you need to talk about all your conditions, medical conditions, and see if it's right, you know, for you to take, if you have other medical conditions. And she didn't want to make a blanket statement about anybody with this or that shouldn't take it. If you, she basically, you know, tried to say if you have, you know, if there's any doubt or any questions, talk to your doctor. She wasn't going to try to play, you know, that out. Now, there's no definitive issue with, and of course, there's so many different vaccinations. Now, here's the thing that I wanted to get to because of everything I've talked about so far. The vaccinations themselves. The Johnson & Johnson vaccination is a standard vaccination. It's a one-shot deal. It's more like the flu shot, like how we think of the flu shot. It's kind of like you are getting a virus that gives you the antibodies. And then you fight, you know, your body fights it off, and it's kind of more like that. It's like a weaker strain. And the others, the AstraZeneca, the Moderna, and the whatever it is. Those are a synthetic, that is a genetic something. It's the mRNA vaccinations. My understanding is this is where it gets a little bit creepy, because this is what my understanding is, and I could be totally wrong on this, but the reports I've heard say that this is what affects your T cells. Now, the T cell balance in your body is extremely critical. How your T cells respond to a particular disease or an intruder in your body, so to speak, is very critical. And if your T cells get imbalanced, there's diseases out there where your T cells basically respond to everything, and your body starts to attack itself because your T cells go nuts. There is a lot of speculation that these vaccines, because in earlier tests, within the last 20 years, when this kind of technology has been tried, there has been a collapse of the immune system because of the T cell, kind of the rewiring or the tampering with the T cell response. So I don't know, and this is what gives me caution about this whole thing is, where are we going to be in 2 years? And this mandatory 100% of the people have to be vaccinated thing, get vaxxed or else kind of attitude, is simply beyond the pale. And my guess is they're going to push to get this thing FDA approved. Now, we're under an emergency approval right now, which means they cannot mandate this. In fact, I don't think they can mandate it anyway. I mean, they do pretty much mandate, some school systems mandate that you have to get, if you're going to come to this school, you have to get your vaccinations. So it's very concerning to me. Everybody talks about, if you mention chemtrails on the internet, you get killed. If you say anything about it, as far as if you say anything bad about it, if you go on one of the chemtrail channels and you say this is baloney, you're watching a contrail, a condensation trail on a jet liner, and then they'd all jump on you and say, no, it's chemtrails, they're spraying us with chemicals. Now, there's a whole lot more efficient ways to get chemicals into people, into the population, than spraying them at 30,000 feet. Let me just say, because they're going to drift off to some other country anyway, and the sun's going to break it down. Well, it's all kinds of issues there. Why not just put it in the water system? Why not just There's so many other ways. If they're going to do that kind of thing, I mean, everybody's getting vaccinated. Just put in the vaccination. Put something in the fuel. If you want to do that kind of thing. So, I digress. So we have all this stuff going on. Let's go through some headlines. I got a little bit of time left. Let's go to reliable news now, which is where I tend to go. Let's see what some of these headlines say. Governor of Iowa signs bill banning mask mandates in schools for staff and students. Banning the mask mandates. Good for him or her, whoever that is. Chris Cuomo says he's sorry for advising brother on sexual harassment allegations. Well, he finally says he's sorry about something. That's amazing. Mormon Church's investment into GameStop pays off with an $8 million gain. Like they needed $8 million. Mormon Church, I believe, is one of the richest denominations. I'm not going to call it a denomination. One of the richest cults in the country. in the world, I should say. Circleback Psaki attacks new Texas law outlawing abortions after heartbeat is detected. Well, of course she would. Because they care about the children. It's all about the children. Unless they're still in the womb. Then they're just a little piece of flesh. There's nothing. It's not a children then. Even if it has a heartbeat. Now, if you go in and try to kill a mouse, they'd probably be all over that. Officials in Israel approve ceasefire with Hamas. And, of course, Hamas has taken a lot of hostages in this process, both Israeli and Palestinian, mostly Israeli. So we'll see how that works out. Now, a lot of times when Hamas gets their butt kicked, I'm just putting it, you know, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. They got their butt kicked here. They got hammered pretty hard. And whichever, you know, here's the thing. Then they go, oh, ceasefire. So they can regroup, rearm, and they come back and do it again. This has happened at least 20 times in my lifetime. Ceasefire. Okay, so for about a month or two. And then they get everything regrouped, and then the missiles start flying again. Despite backlash, Jacksonville Jaguars signed Tim Tebow to a one-year deal. Now, I guess Tim Tebow was apparently out of the NFL for a while, was he? I guess. I don't know. I don't know. He's back in. I don't know. I haven't paid any attention to the NFL. I never have. I was never really an NFL guy, nor was I. I'm just not a big football, not a big sports guy, basically. That's what it amounts to. So I don't know what's going on there. I'll let you figure that out. Netanyahu refuses to back down, defies call from Biden to rein in strikes on Hamas. Now, of course, I'm reading through the headlines as they were in the timeline. I should be going backwards here because that now is not a factor because of the supposed ceasefire thing. Keystone workers furious that Biden administration acknowledges that pipelines are important. And this is, if you know the backstory on that one, he's endorsing the Russian pipeline. Now, there's a pipeline coming from Russia that goes into Germany. And I believe this is the pipeline that everybody's talking about, that he's endorsing and saying it's a good idea. Now, Trump was totally against it. He was basically saying you are putting yourself in a very insecure situation if Russia ever wants to shut that off. You are beholden to them now. This is a conflict of interest, so to speak. And it is. And of course, we wanted to sell them our energy because we had, you know, an exporter of energy. So, you know, buying up Russia's oil is now putting money into their pockets. And that's, you know, Trump saw that and didn't want that to happen. Of course, he was, you know, he was Putin's puppet. But now Biden is doing his bidding. He's bidden Biden. AOC blasts Musk and Bezos, yet parks her Tesla at Whole Foods illegally. Yeah. So, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who couldn't afford, she wanted aid. When she first went to Congress, she couldn't believe how much she had to pay for rent for an apartment with a garbage disposal that she didn't know what it was. She was terrified of it. And she didn't know how she was going to be able to afford it. Apparently, they didn't tell her how much she was going to make as a congresswoman. And it's not just what your salary is. It's what all the lobbyists are paying as well, under the table, all the other stuff that you get, all the perks. She didn't realize that. Apparently, she was completely, she missed out on the whole, you know, benefits package orientation day there at the Congress thing. And the fact that she was always going to get paid for the rest of her life, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not. Once you're into Congress, I think it's only after your first term you get a stipend the rest of your life. I think every term you serve after that, the stipend goes up. Oh, gee, well, that's an incentive to continue to be reelected now, isn't it? That would be a good incentive to keep from getting term limits, maybe, possibly. Yeah, no term limits, no retirement plan. You go in and you serve as a public servant and you come back out and you're just like any other volunteer that works for a church or any place else. You don't walk out with some stipend and some, it just ticks me off. So there's that. But she's got this, so now she's driving a Tesla. You know, she had it so bad when she first walked in there. She was looking for aid to help congressional people with their rent. But now she's driving a Tesla to Whole Foods, no less. Wisconsin officially begins their election audit. And this is a real audit they're having now, I guess. Violence against Jewish communities explodes in the U.S. as ceasefire takes effect between Israel and Hamas. One day after fining the GOP reps for being maskless on the floor, Pelosi caught attending an event without her mask. And nobody's there wearing a mask. Actually, nobody in that picture is wearing a mask. Pete Buttigieg says pipelines are best, just not the Keystone pipeline. Yeah, he's a good guy. He was the mayor here in the town next to me, here at South Bend, and I know plenty about Pete. Biden press secretary Jen Pasirkobak-Pasaki claims a number of officers died the day of the Capitol riot. All right, so we're gonna go there. A number of officers died the day of the Capitol riot. Well, I'm sure that if you look at all the officers all over the country, on January 6th, there were probably more than one officer died that day. You see, they're still holding to this narrative that's been completely retracted. That Officer Sicknick, who was a Trump supporter, by the way, was bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher. And that is not the case. He died of a stroke later on that day, possibly brought upon, I guess he had some kind of condition, but they believe he had been sprayed with pepper spray, like a pepper spray. I'm not sure what it's called. It's another kind of, some kind of a capsin spray or whatever it's called. That he may have had a reaction to that, or that may have caused enough trauma that he, but the cause of death was not anything that they could tie directly, knowingly, to anything that happened to him that day. And yet here we are saying a number of officers died the day of Capitol riot. Now some officers committed suicide after the riot. One committed suicide, and another one died several, like a week or two later, and they're still saying. Now, after the whole thing, we have an individual from the Nation of Islam drove his car, tried to run over a couple of officers. One of them ended up dying. That was a direct attack. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have an investigation, and a special counsel look into that thing, a commission. Yeah. Virginia Sheriff's deputy single-handedly lifts a car to save a pinned woman's life. That's a good story there. Pelosi is left scrambling after this squad says no to increasing Capitol Police budget. Of course, they're all over the Republicans for saying that we want to increase the budget, make sure they can afford to fix some doors and do some things around that. Just it's like there's no budget to fix doors and pay the police there. Are you kidding me? Have you looked at the budget for that building? There are millions of dollars in maintenance every year for that building. A lot for that building. And they make it sound like it's just, oh, we're just trying to fix the doors and do some things around here. Just, you know, fix the place up because it's a shamble. It's running. It's all run down. We haven't done anything to fix this place up since 1902. These people are pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Just aggravates the daylights out of me when they act like that. And they say things like that that just are just beyond the pale. Of course, they have pictures of these people here. And they're Rashida Tlaib and AOC and what's her name? And the other, what's her name? The one that's bald now. And she has hair on this one. Of course, the other one's wearing a hijab. Ask them what the hijab stance is for. It's not submission to God, by the way. Well, it is. It is in absentia, but it's in an indirect way. The hijab is a submission to man, to a man. That's what that's for. You don't see men in Islam wearing a hijab. So what about that? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that goes against all their little wokeisms. And again, hypocrisy has no, you know, you can't, that's not a thing for them. They don't care about hypocrisy. You can spell it out all day for them and they don't care. Because the end justifies the means. I've said that before. With them, their only principle is the end justifies the means. They don't care what, you know, they'll do whatever they have to make that happen. Okay, so now my page is flipping around here. Republicans demand answers as report says illegals are being flown into Tennessee in the middle of the night. That's okay. This is an issue I want to bring up. Because this is another interesting article right after that. That's something I'm going to talk about too. This gets more into the conspiratorial things, but the Republicans, they found out that there are illegals. There are people coming who've come across the border because they're dispersing them all throughout the country. They've done this. This is another thing that they've done to upset the demographics of certain states and to turn blue states or to turn red states blue. They're very good at it, and this is what they're doing. They have a strategy. They're not completely, you know, sometimes when I think that they're just reacting to some things, that's not actually the case. They actually have kind of some plans here. A couple things that they have plans to do. One is they relocate these people. Like when we were taking in refugees, most of them were Islamic. They were Muslim. Taking in these Muslims, and they were placing them all over the country. Well, where were they placing them? In deep red state areas. In little towns here and there, and that's where they were placing them. I know this because we have a town in this area that's it's a rather small town, and they located several families of refugees at that time from because of the ISIS crisis in this town. And they give them, I think for 1 year, they get basically a living wage. They get all kinds of stipend and benefits for at least 1 year. I think they can apply for more. which, of course, gives them the ability to thrive. Now, they're doing the same thing with the people crossing the border now. They are taking them without any process or any way of tracking them. Some of them aren't even getting a court date. They're just basically being let in. They are being shuffled off around the country to be dispersed as well because they know that their border states, will be overwhelmed if they don't try to disperse these people because we're talking about 1 million in a year that we're on track to get to come in on top of the already 1 million a year that we allow. Legally. And they're dispersing them all over the country. And they're giving them, of course, they're giving them food stamp, you know, all the stuff. Healthcare, food stamps. And and housing allowances. So they're busing them and flying them all over the country. Well, this Tennessee caught them, basically, middle of the night, bringing them in, dispersing them throughout the state. And they want some answers. Not that they're going to do anything about it, because, you know, Republicans demand answers. Republicans are demanding answers, as reports says illegals are being flown into Tennessee in the middle of the night. Okay, so you'll get your answers, and then what? You're going to believe the answers? First of all, you're going to believe what they say? And secondly, because they're going to say, all they're going to say is, oh, there's nothing to see here. No, this is all a part of the, this is the way it's always been done. Okay, well, then we'll move on. It's out of the news cycle. We're demanding answers because we're getting tough. We're fighting back. What are you going to do about it, Republicans? Are you going to send anybody back? Are you going to actually step in and demand anything? Are you going to say this is illegal and we're going to stop it? What are you going to do, folks? Tell me. Other than put on some kind of show and grandstand and some kind of theater for the TV cameras. Because nothing will change. You are leaving us with no choice anymore. When the law is taken into our own hands, I've talked to, I'm not going to go there because this is just not the format for that. But let's move on to the next topic. Google Docs to begin using inclusive language. And now my page just flipped and refreshed again. I just love the way they do that on this page. It goes all the way to the top again. And now I can't find the article I was looking at because it has to reflow all the pictures and stuff. Where'd it go? Here we go. Google Docs to begin using inclusive language and suggests users not write in gender terms. Now, let me point out something here. A lot of people use Google Docs. I use Google Docs because I can go to any computer I have, pull up my Google Docs, and I can put in my my show notes and all that kind of stuff. Now, if you don't think that Google is keeping track of all that stuff, you're out of your mind. I go to my Google Docs. I've got a couple different Google accounts because I got a couple different Google channels or YouTube channels. And you better believe that they know exactly what's on. They all this data is being saved on their servers. And I guarantee you it's constantly being captured. And so if I have a Google document and I type in my Google document, you know, he and she and this and this and that and Mr. That, and if I at some point, things are going to start disappearing on your Google documents. That's where this is going, folks. You will no longer be able to use Google Docs and put in your own information and all your own stuff. It will be censored. You don't think so? That's what they're doing with YouTube. YouTube and Google were—they're still one and the same. They were broken up supposedly, but they're still one and the same. The same people are running the show. So have a clue, folks. This is where we're going with the internet stuff. I wish I still had my old mimeograph machine. You start printing out pieces of paper, distributing actual printed page. There's going to be a time probably when printers that themselves will not even print what you create a document on your computer and you go to print it. The printer is going to go, oh, we can't allow you to print that. So it'll either change what you've printed. This is where we're going with this stuff. And it's, you know, the technology gets better and better. And at some point, they're going to be able to create. Oh, they're already getting into this deep fake stuff where you can show somebody making a speech. It's not really them. It's a synthesized voice with, you know, the person's voice synthesized to say what they want it to say, what they want them to say. And the whole thing is, you know, not really you. And how do you know? And they're getting so good at it now. The only way you can tell right now is there's a few things that you can't see. They can't really do. In other words, the blinking of the eyes and some of the other, you know, facial cues that are in a normal person speaking, they haven't been able to do very well with that. So you can bet they're working on it. And my guess is there's some out there that actually are able to do it. So be aware of that. Let me get rid of that page there. Oh, that's nice. Frank Luntz claims his polls were never... Frank Luntz claims his polls were impartial while taking money from the candidates. Post office is using facial recognition. The post office is using facial recognition and other tools to spy on you. Here's a poll. Only 35% of independent voters in swing states approve of Biden. Congressman Massey files away threat of fine for not wearing a mask from Pelosi. Yeah, they kind of got into it. Even Greta Thunberg is attacking climate czar John Kerry. Oh my goodness, the wrath of Greta. Actor Charles Grodin, known for the Heartbreak Kid, dead of bone marrow cancer at 86. I don't know. I can't remember who he is. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen makes Pete Buttigieg out to be a liar. Well, no. I'm not going to give her credit for that. Pete Buttigieg makes Pete Buttigieg out to be a liar because he's been a liar for, I don't know, ever since I've heard his name. So when he was running for office, he was lying. His first time as mayor, he said he was going to be a Republican, but he couldn't win as a Republican in South Bend. So he believed in all the Republican stuff, but he was going to run on the Democrat ticket because he knew if he was on the Republican ticket, he wouldn't win. This was his strategy. This was his way of winning. Oh, well, he's really a Republican, but he's running as a Democrat. So he got people to vote for him. That's what he told. He told the police department that before he got elected, because he knew most of the police department was mostly Republican. It's the only Republicans in South Bend, basically, pretty much. And so he turns around and, of course, stabs him all in the back. And there was a big federal investigation and all kinds of stuff. And the chief of police there and all kinds of stuff. There was all kinds of racial stuff going on. He was in the middle of it. There were recordings of conversations and phone conversations that, it was a big scandal. And right in the middle of it all, he decided, oh, the National Guard just called me up to go overseas. The National Guard didn't call him up. He volunteered. Again, another lie. And then he didn't go overseas. He stayed here. But he was doing something for Iraq. Well, he didn't go to Iraq. He stayed in the country here. He's an intelligence guy, believe it or not. He's so intelligent, he can lie to you and convince you of it. But now Yellen has made him out to be a liar. Yeah. No, he was already a liar. Senator John Thune to face a primary challenge in 2022. Biden's DOJ trying to stop Arizona election audit. Oh, that's a surprise. Senator Cotton asks, why was the AP acting as human? That's nice. Human shields for terrorists. That's all I'm going to cover with that right now, because I want to get into, I'm a little bit over an hour, and I want to get into from the desk of Donald Trump. Here we go. Um, This is on May 12th. This was the last time this was on May 12th. I don't know. Let's see if I'm going to refresh this and see if there's anything new coming up on that. Because I don't know. Oh, okay, here we go. May 20th. See, 35 wayward Republicans. They just can't help themselves. We have much better policy and are much better for the country. But the Democrats stick together. The Republicans don't. They don't have the Romneys, Little Ben Sasses, and Cheneys of the world. Unfortunately, we do. Sometimes there are consequences to being ineffective and weak, or what I call feckless. The voters understand. I put in the feckless part. That was yesterday, around noon. This was yesterday. This was the night before. A loan of $1.2 billion is closed on the asset known as the Bank of America building. He puts in parentheses here, 555 California Street in San Francisco, California. The interest rate is approximately 2%. Thank you. I don't know what that was about. That was kind of a veiled thing there. Something going on. Stick with Christy Alley. She is a great actress, loved by so many people, and a true original. She is also strong and smart. Many millions of people greatly appreciate her support of our country. Thank you, Christy. You are truly appreciated. She went on with Tucker and had a big, long interview. Now, he has a big, huge, long post here. It is a couple pages long. Here's one from the 19th in the morning. Breitbart News. President Donald Trump directly. So this is a quote he put on here from Breitbart News. Breitbart News, quote, President Donald Trump directly confronting radical Islamic terrorism made the United States and the world a much safer place, paving the path for historic peace deals like the Abraham Accords. End quote. I guess the quote was from Secretary Pompeo. Here's this is also something worth reading from the desk of Donald Trump. Republicans in the House and Senate should not approve the Democrat trap of the January 6th commission. It is just more partisan unfairness. And unless the murders, riots, and firebombings in Portland, Minneapolis, Seattle, Chicago, and New York are also going to be studied, this discussion should be ended immediately. Republicans must get much tougher and much smarter and stop being used by the radical left. Hopefully Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy are listening. And there's the problem right there. Now, interesting stuff going on here. The left, I've been reading some of the MSNBC headlines lately. I don't listen to their videos, but I watch their. They are nuts right now. They're in the tank again, going absolutely bat poop crazy over Trump getting impeached again. And they think that this, and there are some people even on the right who are saying that this January 6th commission is nothing more than an indictment to try to get Trump indicted. It is an attempt to keep him from being elected in 2024. Very possible. Of course, they have to keep him under investigation. They have to keep this thing going on so they can continue to have reasons to spy on him and keep him controlled. There's also a case in New York, I guess, something about something. I don't know what's going on. MSNBC saying, "Oh, he's going to be in jail. He's going to be in prison. He's going. This is really bad for him." They just keep going on and on about this. How many times have we heard this from MSNBC and CNN? The walls are closing in. Oh, this is going to be it for him. He's going to go down. He's going down. We've got his taxes. Oh, he's got this, blah, 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 blah. Oh, we're going to impeach him this time. This is more. They still have to use him to keep their ratings up. That's what it amounts to. That's really all this amounts to. It is this continual Orange Man Bad Thing that they have to continue to propagate in order to get listeners. Because if they don't talk about him, they have nothing else to talk about. They can't talk about anything bad that's going on with Biden. Can't talk about anything that's going on with Biden because nothing's going on with Biden. He does like one event a day. He gets up around 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, gets prepared for his one event. And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he's back in bed with his little milk and cookies, and then he's asleep by 7. Otherwise, he's grumpy and chewing everybody out and cussing them out, apparently, according to people around him. This is even coming out from people on the left. That he's getting very testy, cussing people out. So it's like, yeah, oh well. But his arms are reaching out. It's like his arms are reaching out to the countries, to the nations, to the world, embracing them. Yeah. What a bunch of baloney. And there's more here. We may cover this afternoon, but I'm sure there's going to be more to talk about as we talk about our country and our life in general. And so in the meantime, I'm going to bid you adieu. Because, it's Friday. I'll try to have a show this afternoon if I can. Got a lot going on this afternoon. Just got to do a few things. But hopefully be able to get back on here and talk a little bit about what's going to happen over the weekend. And probably we'll have shows on Monday and Tuesday this coming week, hopefully, if all goes well. Things go as planned. So, as said before, I wish you all well. I'll be praying for you. You can pray for me. And we'll continue to see what God does with all this stuff. Because he's got to do something. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Shabbat Shalom.